Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, time to talk the Yankees' little State of the Union with their general manager. We promised we'd have him after the weekend. He joins us now. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, thank you. First, Didi, now listen, every surgery is successful. Anything you can add or anything they noticed about what happened in his surgery? Anything different or anything important?
No, they said everything went as planned, thankfully, and it's all we can ask for, and then you wait and hope it works out. Most of them seem to do nowadays.
What's your timetable on him? Do you have a timetable on him? As far as, you know, what they would give you as a reasonable timetable?
Yeah, I think, you know, anywhere from, I hate to say it's going to be June, July, August range. You know, it could be on the early end June, on the late in August, or somewhere in between. It's, you know, and we haven't had to rehab a shortstop, throwing arm shortstop.
Right.
You know, last infielder that we had, and he was towards the back end of it, was Tony Womack when he was signed as a second baseman. He was signed coming off of a Tommy John surgery, and I believe it was done, obviously, in rehab through St. Louis's side. So, but anyway, I think we're going to be in a good spot with him, and hope he's a great player, as we all know. And so it's a tough loss for the time we're losing him, but, you know, there's obviously a lot of optimism given the medical stuff today that you know, he was in good hands, and that, you know, it'll go well, and, you know, he'll be back on track, but unfortunately we have to wait on it.
What's your take on your season now that you had a couple of days to sleep on it?
I mean, we had a good year. It's disappointing that we, you know, again, if you don't play your best baseball, I thought going into the postseason we were peaking at the right time. You know, I really, our whole second half, we had some important injuries that were, despite our 100 wins, you know, that we were missing some key guys, whether it was Judge or, you know, Sanchez went down on the DL twice, and he obviously didn't have the year we expected, and Bird was missing. But we obviously, we made some acquisitions over time that played out in a good way, and it felt like in the last 2 weeks it was really coming together, and we were peaking at the right time, and then we hit Oakland and did what we did, and I was like, here we go. And even coming out of Fenway, where I felt we won home field advantage back, and we're going to the Yankee Stadium, we split up in Fenway. I thought that was huge. And then, but again, it just didn't play out the way we wanted it.
Yeah, and, I mean, let's be honest, they outpitched you. I mean, they got better starting pitching in more games, which is really a lot of times what it comes down to. I mean, that's what it kind of came down to in the series. They pitched a little better than the Yankees did. All right, a lot of interesting stuff here because you got a good young group. No question. You have some resources still. You're in a good position in terms of your payroll, but we're not going to get the free agents, obviously, today because you can't. But you got a lot of ways to go with this, which makes it very interesting. Let me start with the starting pitching from the standpoint of how much do the young kids play into your thinking? And I mean the kids who touched the major league roster this year. How much do they play into your thinking going forward to 19?
I think in a big way. Yeah, I think in a very big way. I mean, we're excited about the young talent and the nucleus we've got, and we've got to continue to grow and build them. But past that, you know, how can we add to it while we're trying to improve upon it, and what can we surround them with? Because a team is it's a team sport, clearly, and you know, our job is to attack every area of weakness and try to lead the strengths to strengths. And we do have some free agent issues that every team has to deal with. How do you deal with that? And we'll see. I thought we finished in a good spot. We just didn't finish up the way we wanted to.
I mean, but you expect guys, you know, you expect the guys who got to the majors this year, your young starters, you expect them to be part of your rotation next year. Your game plan is most likely they'll be in your rotation.
Correct.
Okay. How about now we know what Gray, you know, it's been pretty obvious what the deal is with him. I mean, obviously some guys just, you know, don't fit in well or, you know, aren't made for New York. It happens. And they'll be, you know, he'll be an easy guy to you know, send somewhere else. That's not what about decisions like CC and Hap? How do you feel about those guys?
Yeah, the CC and Hap, I think, were definitely, you know, players that participated in a really good, strong, healthy way for us. And because of that, you know, they're going to get a lot of consideration, not just from us, but from a lot of people. And so as we try to navigate the free agent side of things, you know, we're going to wait and see where that takes us. But those guys were productive players at various different times. And you know, we're excited about, you know, adding to our rotation. It's going to be a focus point for us, and there's going to be a lot of competition regardless of the available players out there, but we need to continue to reinforce that rotation.
How about the bullpen? Same thing. There's a couple of guys we know are there and are in the core, but there's also some decisions to make about big arms in the bullpen. How do you feel about that right now?
Yeah, I mean, the more depth we can continue to provide is a strength. I mean, we gotta just constantly build on everything we got, whether it's the bullpen, the rotation, the outfield, the infield, the catching, the bench, the alternatives, the everything. And that, you know, you see it, just it takes that village, and then it has to play. Like, we got, one of the reasons we got knocked out was because of some of the role players that stepped up in the postseason for Boston against us that did such, you know, amazing work, you know, when called upon, when Alex Cora called on them. You know, so it's, in some cases, you know, if you neutralize Mookie Betts, or you know, we were fortunate for the period of time that he didn't, you know, crush us as he's capable of doing, but other guys stepped up, you know, and that's what you need. That's why it takes the 1 through 25, and you need, you know, every ounce of success to change the landscape of what you want to accomplish. And Boston, everything they did worked for, and unfortunately it didn't for us. So that's why we're, you know, from an individual basis, from the front office perspective, we evaluate what we have, and if we can get our hands on something we think might be better than what we have, you have to really seriously consider it if you can make it work.
We've been having this discussion, Cash. We're talking with Brian Cashman, the Yankee general manager, for 20 years, and it's one that is an inexact science. You can project a pitcher, and you can project him to have great talent. You can project him to have power stuff. You don't know what guy's going to do well in the postseason and what guy's not. You just never know. Look at Kluber the last couple of years, or as an example. You don't know which guy is going to go in there and throw a dominant game and which guy's not based on the regular season. Look at Kershaw. Look at his postseason record compared to his regular season record. It's a fine line. Like, hey, Eovaldi pitched better in the postseason than Hap did. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know which guy's going to pitch better in one game, and it comes down to one game a lot of time.
No, and when the dust settles, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, I mean, it matters, but the dust settles when you're on the side of the fence that we fell on. When it's out, all your fans care about is the results.
No question.
And as it's a results business, and, you know, we're condemned with, you know, not getting the results, you know, that we were focused on and continue to fight for done, and we have to live with that and move forward with, all right, 2018's over. There was a lot of nice things that happened, a lot of positives and exciting things that you can point to. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still left with an empty feeling because it was a missed opportunity, because you had a team that we felt was capable, and it proved unworthy for whatever reason. And we just got to study the reasons why and try to continue to attack the areas of weakness to the best of our abilities with the available trade and free agent market and funds, and then see where that takes us.
No question, but it's not an exact science in the postseason.
No,
it isn't.
No, that's
and that's the problem.
All about.
I mean, you can build a team to win 100 games, but you know what? It might not play well in the postseason.
No. Listen, I mean, I've been around long enough where I've had teams I thought were the best teams, odds-on favorite, going in, and they got knocked out. I've been a part of teams that I thought, you know, I thought everybody, including ourselves, we upset the Cleveland Indians last year. We technically won 4 games out of the 5-game series we had with those guys. You know, because even though it was a 3 best of 5, and whoever wins 3, you know, we lost 1 game with that video issue. So we technically beat them 4 times. And if you saw how they handled us in the regular season, and in terms of odds on favorite going into that series, they are a better team, and it didn't play out that way. So you're right. Our 96 team against, you know, the Orioles looked like on paper the better team, but we won the division, and we were able to stand them in the ALCS, and and move into the World Series and upset the Braves. So it that stuff happens. That's why you hear that you don't bet on baseball. It's for good reason.
Well, you get knacks too. You know, look, some guys that get a history. You know, El Duque was a guy for you. You could put him on a beach for 11 weeks in July and August, and he'd come out and pitch a gem in October. That's what he was. Tanaka's got some of that. Tanaka's now proven, at least from what everything I've seen, that he is a guy that you can trust in a very big game. He seems to rise to the occasion.
No, he does. He's definitely someone that, and I think probably that timeout that he had in the season, he came out after that and was really strong and pitched great down the stretch until I think the last two or three starts, it seemed like. But you're right, he does rise to the occasion, and he stepped up, and that's what the head-scratcher stuff is about. You know, CC historically does great against Boston. You saw what Hap historically had done against Boston, including in the more recent season and stuff. And
yep.
And Sebi and those three guys obviously struggled. You know, the Red Sox proved in the marathon and the sprint, you know, that, you know, they are what their record, you know, says they are. And I thought we had a second bite at the apple in the postseason to kind of show them what we are capable of, but they had none of it. And it's hard to swallow, but you have to accept it and respect it.
Yeah, and they've added some people who did well for them. Pierce has done well for them. Evaldi's done well for them. So it happens. You got to have those people who come up big. Look, at last year you got beat by Astros because their starters pitched great out of the bullpen. I mean, you know, so, I mean, that's what turned out last year. We're talking with Brian Cashman. Cash, a couple of guys are very interesting because you can really go a lot of different directions on them. When you look at Voit, is he a guy that this was a pass, this is a one-time wonder? Is he a one-hit wonder, or is he the real thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to answer on the sample size, but I think we're proud of the acquisition. You know, he turned out to be the best offensive player moved at the deadline. I think we got the best pitcher and best offensive player in terms of what they were producing. And I'm proud of what he did and the name he made for himself and how he energized not only our offense and our clubhouse, but our fan base. And obviously he'll get a chance moving forward to prove that it's legit or not. And you know, time will tell. We have Bird is someone that due to injuries or what have you, he obviously disappeared this year. And so he'll have like anything else in baseball, he'll have a shot to change that narrative. And Voit has a chance to continue to reinforce his narrative. And then you combine that with whatever you might be presented during the off season. So who's to say? I think it's very early in the process.
What's the Yankee fans want to know about Gaudy? What's the thought on Gaudy for next year?
We're going to have our pro scouting meetings this week coming up, October 22, 2024. And when those meetings take place, I think we're going to be in a much better position to make recommendations to ownership. And then after those recommendations come downhill, Hal set the final dance tune that we have to follow.
Do you worry about, I mean, do you care how much, how many veterans you have on a roster? Do you care about the composition of the roster from that standpoint, or is it just find the best players?
Best players. I mean, I think we have a lot of great young talent, and we have, you know, we've had good veteran players with them, and that's the best combination to have the mix and the blend. At the end of it all, wherever the decision makes and takes us, it's going to take us.
What's the what's your thoughts, if any, already on how you fill shortstop till Didi comes back?
We're going to have to discuss that, too. The strategies aren't mapped out yet, whether you can, you know, Gleyber Torres is the best shortstop we have in our system right now that we can swing over. We have Tyler Wade, you got Ronald Torres, and then you have outside candidates. So I'm not sure what we're going to do with it, but we're certainly going to be forced to talk through it and come up with an idea that best suits us as we wait for Didi to come back.
What's your thoughts about what you got from Torres this year? His second half wasn't as good as his first. I don't know if he was had leg injuries or whatever, maybe got a little tired. What was your thoughts about his year?
I thought he did great. You know, for a young kid to do what he did is pretty special. You know, he'll be rookie of the year, you know, a candidate for that. And the numbers are pretty, you know, impressive, especially at that age. So, you know, proud of how he competed. And one of the reasons, obviously, he's one of the many reasons why we were able to win as many games as we did. And over time, you know, it's the most games he's ever played. Remember, he played a short season, the previous year because of the injury. So I'm sure it took its physical toll as he grinded through this stuff, as a lot of these guys have. But I think he held up strong and he finished strong, too, at the same time.
Andujar's year offensively was brilliant, defensively less so. What's your thoughts about him going forward?
Exciting talent. Like, we thought development-wise it would take him another year to finish off on the defensive side, but he was able to shore enough things up to say, hey, I'm ready now. And because of that, you know, he hopefully would be the rookie of the year, but what a year he did have. He just he impacted the ball so much. And, you know, he did it's obviously a job at third base. He's not a finished product, but he was finished enough to take the job and be an everyday third baseman and in the pennant race in the American League, and that's pretty impressive.
Was he a guy who exceeded his ceiling in the organization, or did you guys think he could be that kind of hitter?
No, we always felt he could hit. That was never the question. It was just when was he going to finish off on the defensive component side. So, and he's still a work in progress there. But the great thing about Miggy, that, you know, for those who don't know him, is his makeup has always been unquestioned. His thirst for work and desire to be better, it's always been there and it's always been intact. So, you know, when you have talent with that type of interest and effort of being the best he can be, it's usually the combination that allows guys to get to their ceiling. So we're very optimistic that over time you're going to continue to see the improvements necessary for him to be, you know, a great player for a long time.
Sanchez, you guys stuck by him in the postseason. He didn't embarrass you. He didn't embarrass you with the mitt. He obviously wrecked one game, and he came close of having a hero moment in the game four. But he did have a really weird year. I mean, with the glove and with the bat. The bat surprised me more than the glove. I mean, the glove's always been a bit of an issue. The bat, him hitting 180, I never saw. I didn't expect that. What did you think went on with him this year?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think over time it started out as he was impacting the ball in a real strong, heavy way. But then after that, I think it turned into confidence. I think he trained, you know, you got to stay positive. It's a mental game. And I think for a period of time, that mental side of this game started to bite him and his confidence wavered. And then obviously the injuries hit and stuff. But I think in the end, he found a little bit of his momentum and mojo back at the most important time in the second season. I think you saw a more closer version of what he is. And because of that, you know, he was able to positively impact us, and we're going to continue to bet on him because we think he's a difference maker, even though the year he had is not the one that he or we would have expected. But the capabilities are there, and we're looking forward to getting him back on track.
In the short series, Cash, where you see all these power pitches, like look at the Brewer game last night, 16 pitches, 32 strikeouts, wheeling pitches in indiscriminately throughout the entire game. Everybody does it now. We know that's the game, power on power on power, and a lineup where guys are going to strike out. You have some guys who are very high strikeout guys, more than a couple. Two of them at 200. One's a great player all around in Judge. One's a defined slugger in Stanton. Do you worry of having that you need more balance in terms of contact hitters in the postseason in the lineup, or does that not concern you?
I think everything has to concern you. I think the collection of talent that we have is on a yearly basis. It kind of is, how does it come together? You know, obviously we imported Stanton by decision this winter, and knowing he had the strikeouts and combining him with the other guys. So that was a strategic decision, but what he does provide, I still think is, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, positive. So we have a collection of guys that strike out a lot. We lost to Boston in this postseason. I think we only struck out 16% of the time, which is, so we're making the contact during the postseason. We had inopportune
right.
times.
So
where
big
we struck
strikeouts,
out.
Yes.
Yeah, in big moments. But overall, we were making the contact. It was bad contact. We were having a lot more ground balls than we're used to seeing. Why that happened, that's something that we're left to figure out on our own and determine with everybody involved in the decision-making process. But with the group we have, you have to credit also Boston for what they did to us to create that type of atmosphere of ground balls. But we got to determine, what was that, something that just was happenstance? Was it something that, you know, that they did to us that created that result throughout the lineup and turned our offense into what it was for that, you know, that series? Those are the things that we have a longer winter now to have to deal with that we wish we didn't. But trust me, we'll be working at it we always want a balanced offense. I mean, we're all right-handed. Bird was supposed to be an important left-handed bat, didn't occur. So that was obviously something that obviously was going to create a problem for us. And so hopefully we can get some balance with a more fluid offense that can score a lot of different ways. We certainly, something that killed us was obviously how we were with the bases loaded throughout the season.
Yeah,
that's something
crazy.
We never solved, and that's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
But again, there's every area that has to be looked at. You know, we have to look in the mirror with the straight face and really deal with it head on, and how we deal with it, you know, remains to be seen. But at the same time, we have to recognize there's a lot of strengths here and things that you don't want to mess with too. And so it just comes down to comparables of this versus that. And if you can make changes, or if you want to make changes in that particular area, and how do you go about making it happen? And we'll see.
One of the biggest strengths, of course, is Judge. You're a different team when he's playing, and he has really finished off his game well. I mean, he's become an incredibly complete player. I mean, very quickly. I mean, defensively, the arm, the fielding, base running, everything. And you see what a difference he makes as he impacts this team. I mean, he's on his way to, you know, an enormous career. But keeping him healthy, obviously, his size, I don't know if that's going to be an issue or not. You know, he's had lingering things the first 2 years. Hasn't affected performance that badly, although it did keep him out of the lineup some this year. Any concerns with him as far as that goes?
No, not really. I mean, obviously the shoulder issue is something that, you know, occurred, I think, probably, you know, more likely from that home run hitting contest the year before. And then this past year, you know, I got hit by a pitch on the wrist, and that was just unfortunate. But boy, what a talent.
Wonderful
talent. What an impactful person on and off the field. And we're lucky that Damon Oppenheimer and his staff made that selection, and he's grown into everything that you would have dreamed upon when they made that pick in the first round back in the day. So thankfully there's not an issue in that particular position area, and you know it's more like, all right, it just allows us to focus on other aspects of our club.
Severino, what's your thoughts?
Great young talent, obviously victimized by you know pitch tipping at times, and so we'll keep working on him and Larry and find ways to try to counteract that, because obviously the clubs that are good at that, you know, when he's, you know, telegraphing things, it shows you what major league hitters are capable of doing, which is, you know, you kind of naked out there at times if they know what's coming, and, you know, we have to countermeasure that better than we've done.
You know, in a game at Yankee Stadium, though, they dinked and dunked them. They scored those runs on outs. They scored them on a ground ball back to the mound off his glove. They scored one on a force out. They scored one on a little sack fly. They never even had an extra base hit in that game off him. I mean, they really didn't hit, and he was wild, but they didn't hit him hard in that game.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, I think he was telegraphing some things, and it's stuff we have to clean up. And it's not like it hasn't been addressed, but sometimes, you know, you revert back to some bad habits, and it plays out in a certain way. And so,
you think it's as simple as that with him, or do you think he got tired and maybe lost a little life on his fastball second half of the season? Or you think it was all the other thing?
I think part of a few different things. I think, if I had to, again, there's no certain answers here, but if I had to guess, my educated guess would be that he telegraphed things at times that threw his mojo off, so then confidence stepped in and threw him off a little bit. So it was a physical thing that led to a mental thing that, you know, that he had to battle through, which he did, and then got back on track eventually. But every now and then, if he would, you know, got around the league, you know, about what was going on, and so he had to deal with it. It's a constant effort, I think, on his and our part to try to counteract that.
How about the back of the bullpen? What you saw from Betances, what you saw from Chapman this year?
Dylan was terrific. You know, kudos to him. You know, obviously, he's been a tremendous reliever for a long time in this league, but we've seen the ups and downs at times.
Yeah.
And last year was a down year, but that shows you, again, you know, people get an opportunity to change the narrative, fight back, resuscitate, what have you. And I say that with all due respect in his case, because he's a, you know, perennial all-star mostly throughout his career, notwithstanding this year, although I thought he had a tremendous season for us and reestablished himself as an elite reliever and an impactful player. And he cleaned up some areas that he needed to address. So he would be an example that bodes well for if there's other players, which we do have, that can be improved upon and clean up areas that need to be addressed, Dallin's Exhibit A is it can be done, and it can be done in a big market like this, and you can fight through your demons, whatever they happen to be, whether they're mental, whether they're mechanical, and Dallin would be an example of somebody that got through it a little bit and came back from a little bit of the abyss, even though, again, I say that in fairness to a guy who's just used to greatness regardless.
And he really did after last year being almost banished. Chapman, though, was not the same in terms of, you know, obviously being available. He had some games where maybe he was injured, and that's why he was having such wildness problems. Where is he? Do you worry about him physically now, you know, with the knee and stuff like that going forward, or do you think that's something that you can clean up?
I think the winter should clean that up, but it was a problem clearly for us to deal with in the summer, and it just got worse. Clearly put him down, and then obviously we had to get him back late and just kind of baptism by fire and rehab him in September. So the winter came at the proper time for him, and my understanding of the time frames allowed that to clean it up, and then hopefully we can put that behind us because obviously he's a very gifted and talented player, but the physical issues that he had, you know, certainly, I think, you know, put him on the down turn for a period of time. But thankfully, we had a bullpen that was capable of picking up the slack. So while he was gone.
Do you feel this is a year, Cash, after winning 100 games and with the young talent that you do have, you know, young talented stars you do have and guys who are on the brink of stardom and under control for some years still, is this you think this will be a major offseason in terms of moves, or will this be more fine-tuning?
All of the above. I mean, I'll give you an example. So, obviously, we took a run at a big-time player at the trade deadline, for instance, that we didn't get.
Right.
And then, which was going to be an offensive potential guy for us. And then we wound up with a smaller name that no one really knew of, including us. And he turned out to be the most impactful offensive player moved at the deadline. And so big names, small names, all that anybody's going to care about is it going to work, help, be productive, impact you in a positive way? So we are going to vet every aspect of it. So Luke Voit turned out to be as impactful of a bat we could have gotten our hands on, and kind of we got, you know, we were directed into that by a lot of quality people we had. But he played at a higher level than I think anybody would have expected, and so we were fortunate there. And so this winter, you know, hopefully we can run into some more good decisions that play out in a bigger way than you could anticipate. Does that mean it's a big name? Does it mean it's a smaller name, a medium name? Who knows? But we're just obviously trying to find a way to still be playing right now, because we're not, and we got to find a way to reinforce it. And the other thing is, we reinforced this team a lot this year. This is the one thing that, you know, I do exit meetings with our players, and the resounding feeling was the chemistry was strong, the roster was improved significantly, and all the guys we imported really played a positive role in ourselves. But while we're doing all that turnover and additions and stuff, other teams that are super good at what they do as well are getting better too. And so that's why the constant landscape focus has to be there by us, which is to find a way to be better, because everybody else is doing the same at the same time. And you see teams like Tampa that did a lot of deadline deals. They're getting better. That roster and their system is, they're not sneaking up on us, but they're going to be maybe sneaking up on fan bases around the game.
They did a remarkable job considering that lineup. That pitching was sensational, but they did a remarkable job. They really did.
So as we're fighting the Boston Red Sox above us, Tampa Rays behind us are coming. You see what Oakland did from June on with the best record in baseball. I mean, the talent in this league is strong, and the teams that happen to be in, including us right now, of qualifying for postseason might not be the same teams next year, and because other teams are really pushing the envelope. And so we have our work cut out for us, even though we have a lot of quality talent. But, you know, our attitude has to be it's not enough. We have to do more.
How do you judge? How do you internally judge this acquisition? Hap had a terrific regular season, and then he didn't do his job in the postseason. Was that a negative, his acquisition, or a positive, his acquisition?
It was a positive. He was everything we needed and then some. Unfortunately, it didn't play out that way for us in the postseason. But at the same time, you kind of worry about someone who faces the same team over and over and over and over and over again, like he did with Toronto against the Red Sox, and then with us. and then we finish the season having to face them and still fight for a postseason home field advantage situation. So we had to deploy our best players against them, and then now we have to redeploy, you know, our pitching against them a week later if we can get past Oakland. And at some point, it caught up to him. Those guys got enough looks at him and found a way, whether his game was off or they saw enough of him to change the equation on it. And but he was great in our clubhouse and great on the field to play for us. He, you know, someone that I think whether we're lucky enough to retain or somebody else acquires, it's for good reason. He's wired the right way.
Well, you notice some big ticket items out there this year. Will you guys be kicking the tires on those?
We'll see. I can't predict what we're going to do yet. We're still in the infancy stage of this stuff and haven't started our meetings yet. And then and we have to evaluate what the true landscape is in terms of available talent, via the trade market versus what's available in the free agent market, and then slot them properly and then see the acquisition costs. And that's going to take some time. So we're going to kick the tires on every opportunity and then kind of, you know, see where and what we should do after that.
In closing, give me a word on your first-year manager.
I thought he did a great job. He's a special person. Dropping him into the middle of this environment and doing the job he did was remarkable. So I would give him A's across the board. I know that any manager that we've had and that's around the game, and whether it's postseason or not, you know, is going to be subjected to obviously second guessing, and that comes with the job and the territory, especially when you don't win. But I feel like given the circumstances, we're very lucky to run into him, and he honored that job interview. And he was going to manage in the big leagues here with somebody last year or this year, and I'm glad it was here. And I'm glad, and I've said before, I managed with Torrey for 10 years, Girardi for 10 years, and I'm hoping I don't know if I'll be here for 10 years, but I'm hoping he has a good 10-year run in it for the Yankees, because the guy's got a lot of ability that is going to impact our team in a great way going forward.
Is there no gap between you, Boston, and Houston, or is there a little gap since they're still playing between you guys and them?
Since we won only one game in that series with the Red Sox, that there's at least a 3-game gap right now. So because they're playing and we're not.
Right,
yeah, they
thanks.
found a way to beat us, and good for them, for their fan base, and bad for us and our fan base.
Well, listen, there's 300 win teams, and two of them aren't going to the World Series. So, I mean, another one's going to lose in this series again. So, you know, there's going to be two teams that won 100 games in the American League that didn't get to the World Series, which is a strange year. You know that?
Yeah, the two teams playing right now, Houston and Boston. I don't have to like them, but I can respect the product that they're producing and how it's being. How it's playing out and in a competitive environment. So I certainly respect what they've done, and that's why they're where they're at. And so back to the drawing board.
All right, thanks. Well, it'll be an interesting, hot stove, that's for sure. It'll be a lot going on. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.